David Miller, 10/22/2015, Learning and Leadership from Birkat HaTorah to Keter Torah.
Launching our community-wide Beit Midrash program for Kivat Sharet. The goal of the program is for us to have different noted Rabbanim and Rosh Yeshiva come into the community and deliver shurim approximately once a month in the various shuls in the neighborhood. And I just want to thank the co-sponsoring organizations for enabling this to happen. All the shuls in the area, Beit Midrash Torah Nilu Mi, Netzach Menashe, Ol Yonah Menachem, Beit Knesset Feigenson, Garin Yachad, and of course Yeshiva University of Israel and its alumni of Israel as well. Obviously, I'd like to thank the entire committee members who made this event possible. And I'm not going to get into all the details of every single person, but they're on the list. Everyone knows who they are, and thank you, everyone, for being there. But I do want to thank Mark Watson and Mike Greenwald in particular for all their effort. When I came up with the idea, I didn't think it was going to happen unless they liked it so much and they pushed me. So I want to thank them for being there to help me. And without them, it would not have happened. So, by the way, there's a sign-up sheet for everybody here so that we can all have you on, so you'll know exactly the date and time for the next one in November. We're still working on it as we speak. There are a lot of phone numbers and a lot of people being badgered by me to come, and hopefully we'll get somebody by November, and by Bezrat Hashem, it will happen. So also please, you can also, if you want to, on your own smartphone, go to BeitShemeshTorah.org, where those announcements will be, and Murray McComos for the next shiurim, and of course the recording of this shiur as well. But there's nothing better than having a shiur live, so I'm all happy that you're here. Before Rabbi and David introduces our speaker, I would like to ask you to please turn off your cell phones and please hold your questions until the end of the shiur. After the shiur, we'll daven Maariv, and then we'll have our Chol Kogel, and which is warming up downstairs. And now I'd like to ask Moreno or Rav David to introduce our speaker for this evening.
It's a distinct pleasure for me to introduce Hagaon Rav David Miller Shlita. My connection with him goes back to the early 70s, to Yad Tamar, Ad Kedei Kach. We'll leave it at that. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Zechariah, V'ekach li et shnei hamaklot, le'echad karati Noam, u'le'echad karati Chovlim. The Gemara comments that these two staffs, Noam elu tamidei chacham sheberetz Yisrael, Shemanimim zeloze bahalacha. The Chavalim, Chovlim, Elu Tamidei Chachamim Shebabel, Shemechablim zeloze bahalacha. Rashi comments, contrasting these two maklot, says Rashi, the Chovlim, Bilashon Az Vechema, Makshin zeloze. I imagine even the context of this Rashi also connects to the Gemara in Brachot. Edvahi Besufa, initially they are pugilists, and ultimately they come to a resolution. However, Bnei Eretz Yisrael, in stark contrast, says Rashi, Nochin Yachad, Uma'ainin Yachad, Umitaknim Ze Et Ze, Vashmua Yotza Leor. When I think of Harav Miller, I think of Makel Noam. Tamidei Chacham Shemanim Im Ze Laze Behalacha. His entire persona reflects Drachea Darchi Noam. One of his Talmidim, who I shall not mention by name, told me that this is going back several decades ago. He remembers Harav Miller on Yom Kippur coming with a kittel and a white kippah, and literally he saw him as a Malach Hashem Tzvakot. Harav Miller has been a model for hundreds, probably thousands of Bnei Torah, of Talmidim. He is someone who is solidly anchored in the world of Halacha, but possesses a unique ability to navigate the shoals of modern day life and all of its complexities. His ability really to interact with all types of people is nothing short of being amazing. One can say, Etan Afashot, Ashehu Asa, BBMT, Bekolo Grus, Ubuchomene Mekomot. And as I said, hundreds and thousands of Talmidim see him as a role model. For a period of almost 10 years that I was in Enverins of, I'm there 15 years, but the 10 years that we saw Moreno Hagon Rabban Lichstein Zatzal, and I saw Rav David Miller Shlita being Mishamish the Gadol Ador, I was absolutely stunned by the Hachna, by the unbelievable connection, the unbelievable Dorashi Mushash of Torah Yotem Limuda that I witnessed on an ongoing kind of basis. I remember as well Rav Miller's father, Rav Yisrael Miller Zatzal. And it's unbelievable. I'm also a classmate of Michael Miller, of his brother. The family has, literally, kulo machmadin umamtakin. That's the very nature of what this family is all about. Rav Miller is a tremendous mentor and role model to us in the yeshiva. And Baruch Hashem, it's a great schus to be able to have the opportunity to hear Divrei Torah from the Rosh HaKolel, Rav David Miller Shlita, and I think really we are very makitov to him for coming out from Yerushalayim on a Thursday night after obviously Baruch Hashem being involved 24/7 in all kinds of kahal work. He also was a Rav for many, many years, and he actually was something else in the sense that he went 2 years to Chutz Laaretz, what I consider to be a Yerida L'Tzarach Aliyah, and really had a massive impact as well in Washington Heights. So for all the above, we're certainly makir tov, and it's a great schus to introduce Rav Miller.
I want to thank Rabbi David for the very, very kind words. When I spent those 2 years in America, I learned from Rabbi Reis a new adjective to use to describe people like Rabbi David, the indefatigable Rav of this Kehila, of this wonderful, wonderful Makom Torah. Indefatigable means a person who is incapable of being fatigued, untiring. And Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Shraga, our Shachin Tov in the Grus Beis Medrash, thank you very, very much for allowing me to speak from your shul. My dear Talmud, Rav Baruch, thank you very much for inviting me. And Kahal HaKadosh, Bichvodchem. When I sat Shiva for my father, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, Rav Goldwicht Shlita from YU came to be Menachem Avel, and he related to me a series of Eitzot and Hanhagot that he heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach when Rav Goldwicht sat Shiva for his father. One of those Eitzot was that during the course of the year, when I said Shiurim, I should have in mind that the Torah that I am saying is Le'iwi Nishmat, my father. And so since currently we are in the year of Avelut for Moreno V'Rabbeinu, Hareni Kaparat Mishkavo, I thought that it would be appropriate to give over Torah that represents Moreno V'Rabbeinu, and that certainly would be Le'iwi Nishmato. When I spoke to Rav Lichtenstein about the thesis that I wanted to present this evening, a number of years ago, he gave me a very, very warm smile and a yashikayach, so I feel as though I have his haskama as well for the broad context of the shiur. I'm well aware that the shiur is already up on YU Torah from 6 years ago, but ein beis medrash below chidush, and so I added another page of Mara Makomos that I feel that will buttress the thesis of the shiur. Okay. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah in Shulchan Aruch is basically found in Yeridea. However, in Orach Chaim, we have a shadow of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in the context of Birkat HaTorah in Siman Mem Zayin in Hilchos Brachos. Siman Mem Zayin has 14 se'ifim, two bookends, and each of those bookends represents a certain anomaly. You have in front of you the page of Ar Makomos, so I'll go according to the numbering on the page. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Sif Aleph of Siman Mem Zayin is Birkas HaTorah, Sarech Lehi Zoher Ba Ma'od. The Mechaber of Shulchan Aruch uses the phrase Lehi Zoher Ba some 60, 70 times throughout the Shulchan Aruch. Lehi Zoher Ba B'Yoser is used approximately 10 times. Lehi Zoher Ba Ma'od is Sach HaKol used 6 times within all of Shulchan Aruch. Kibud Ave'en, Sarech Lehi Zoher Ba Ma'od. Mora Kavod of a parent is like Maro Kavod of the Shechina. Where else? In terms of Bris Mila, if there's a Safik Pikuach Nefesh, Sarech Lehi Zoher Ba Ma'od. This is not something that one should take lightly. Neros Chanukah, Sarech Lehi Zoher Ba Ma'od. That afilu ani bi Yisrael, he should sell whatever he has in order to be able to purchase Neros Chanukah. But this is the only time in all of the four volumes of Shulchan Aruch that in terms of a Birkas HaMitzvah, we find the phrase Tzarech Lehi Zoher Ba Ma'od. And the question is, what is unique about Birkas HaTorah? If it's the fact that, as we see in source number 3, that there is a day in the Gemara that appears that it's a Da'oraisa, that itself is a Machlokas Rishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether this is Bemet a Da'oraisa or an Asmachta. But even if it's a Da'oraisa, we don't find by Birkas HaMazon that everyone agrees is a Da'oraisa of Yachalta V'Savata V'Herachta. There the Shulchan Aruch doesn't use the language Birkas HaMazon Tzarech Lehi Zoher Ba Ma'od. So, L'chora, there's something more to it, and the Beis Yosef himself quotes the sugya in Nedarim, Al Machava Ha'aretz, Al Shelo Birchu Batara Tchila, that this relates to Churban HaBayit, but that itself is Omer Dorsheni. Why should the lack of saying a bracha change the entire nature of Klal Yisrael for generations? And so, with this we will return to. That's the first halacha of the 14. The last halacha, the 14th halacha, Nashi Mevarchos Birkas HaTorah. This certainly is very, very politically correct in our generation, but the question is, halachically, what is the basis? The language of the bracha is Vitzivanu. Nashim are Peturot mitamud Torah, v'limadetem osames b'neichem. What kind of bracha do we have over here that the Mechaber will say Nashim Mevarchot Birkat HaTorah? So in source number 4, I already quote the Beis Yosef, who quotes the Agur, who searches for those areas that perhaps a woman would be chayevet in. He mentions Torah Sheba'al, Torah Shebichsav, as opposed to Torah Sheba'al Peh. But that is a bit difficult because the Gemara simply says that's not the equivalent of Tiflus. It doesn't say that there is a chiyuv. Then he points out that women, according to many deos, are chayev in Tefillah, and parts of Tefillah relate to Kisvei HaKodesh. But again, l'chora, it's pulling it a bit. And then he says, and after all, women also have to study all of the halachot to know halach l'maisa, how to do their mitzvos, how to fulfill all the mitzvos lo saseh, how to fulfill all the mitzvos saseh, she'en hazman grama, etc. All of that is found in the Agur in source number 4. But the Agur is basically deconstructed by a combination of the Gra and the Beis Halevi. In source number 5, The Gra says Ayin Magen Avram B'Shem HaAgur V'Divrayim D'Chukim Mikama Panim Ukrat Soveach V'Limadetem Es Benechem V'Lo Es Benoseichem Hech Tomar B'Tzivanu Hech Tomar V'Nosan Lanu. The area of Torah Shebichsav is a heter for a woman to learn. There's not a chiyuv. Tfila is tfila. The fact that there are psukim in tfila, so the psukim become part of tfila. They don't become part of Talmud Torah. And in source number 6, the Beis Halevi takes the Agur to task for the learning in order to be able to know how to perform mitzvahs. The Beis Halevi points out a very, very basic distinction between the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is Torah for the sake of Torah, no matter whether it has relevance to mitzvahs. It doesn't have practical consequences. The fact that a person will learn in order to know how to do a mitzvah, that's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's a hechsher mitzvah. It's like building a sukkah to sit in a sukkah. It's like baking matzahs in order to make matzahs. It's like preparing for Shabbos in order to be able to fulfill Shabbos. Maybe preparing for Shabbos, that may be a unique mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. But the others are hechsher mitzvah. But they're not considered to be a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The moment that a woman were to be a bekiyah, were to know everything she has to know about all the mitzvahs that she is responsible for, that's it. So there's no need for her to continue learning. Masha'en came by a man, my nafkamina. He could be the gadol hador and know exactly how to answer all questions. Like Rav Shechter can answer questions in Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. He's still chayev in Talmud Torah constantly. It's irrelevant of whether it has practical consequences or not. So the agur is very, very difficult to use as a source for the 14th Se'if, for the final bookend of Hilchos Birkas HaTorah, Shenoshim Mevarchos Birkas HaTorah. What is the alternative? So if we go back to the Gra in source number 5, the Gra says, Elo ha'ikar al pim ha'shekos v'atosvos u'shar poskim, the Noshim Mevarchos ha'mitzvos ha'sei sha'azman graman. That even if a woman is potter from a mitzvah, she can still make a bracha. We know women make brachos on sitting in a sukkah. Women make brachos on listening to shofar. There are many mitzvos asay shehazman graman that women are paturot from, and still they're going to make a bracha. So we'll call Talmud Torah one of those mitzvot, that even though the woman is exempt from the mitzvah, but if she wants to fulfill it, she can still make a bracha. The problem is, and this is so difficult to understand what the Gra meant, everyone knows that concept of making a bracha on a mitzvah for which you are exempt is a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam paskins that women are not allowed to make brachos, and Rabbi Nutam paskins that women are allowed to make brachos. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch throughout, he's consistent. He paskins like the Mechaber. In Hilchos Tzitzis, he paskins like the Mechaber. He paskins like the Rambam. In Hilchos Tzitzis, he paskins like the Rambam. In Hilchos Shofar, that's why I quoted over here in source number 7, the Afal Pisha Noshim Pturas Yecholos Liskoa, but Ein Mevarchos V'lo Yevarchu Lahen. That's the Shita of the Mechaber. The Ramoy is the one who picks up the Shita of the Balei HaTosos. Haminog Shenoshim Mevarchos Amitzus Asei Shazman Grama. When we're going back to Simon Mem Zayin, the Simon of Birkas HaTorah, it's the Mechaber who says Noshim Mevarchos Birkas HaTorah. To put the Mechaber into the framework of the Balei HaTosfos is very, very, very difficult. So what then can we say about this Sif, Noshim Mevarchos Birkas HaTorah? So many of you are aware that this is classic Brisker Torah, that Reb Velvel, the Rav's uncle, Chidushei HaGriz, already dealt with this in his Chidushim on the Rambam, that's source number 8, that the Bracha of the Birkas HaTorah is not on the mitzvah of learning Torah, for which women are peturot, but rather it's on the chefts of Torah. The fact that I am learning Torah, the fact that Torah is in front of me, the fact that I'm now going to have an encounter with Torah, that itself generates a bracha. Birkas HaTorah ein ha-bracha al kiyum ha-mitzvah shel Talmud Torah, rak hu din b'fnei atzma de Torah bo'i bracha. And therefore it's irrelevant whether someone is chayiv in the mitzvah as a man or potter from the mitzvah as a woman. The cheftza shel Torah, that encounter exists, and that encounter brings about a bracha. In source number 9, the Brisker Rav had a brilliant Talmud who passed away unfortunately at a young age, Rav Peremchik, who wrote 2 super, super svarim. If you want to have svarim that you'd like to read, bedtime reading, a fantastic lumdus. So the Emek Bracha and the Torah Zerayim are such svarim. So he wants to bring a raya to his Rebbe, to the Brisker Rav, from a text of Rabbeinu Shmaya. Rabbeinu Shmaya was a student of Rashi. He was like Samuel Johnson's Boswell. In other words, he brought down all the minhagim of Rashi. And he points out that Rashi used to learn in his house before he went to shul, and he'd make a Birkas HaTorah in his house, and then when he'd come to shul, he would repeat the Birkas HaTorah. And so how could we possibly understand what Rashi is doing? That's a bracha levatala. You already made a bracha. So you see that according to Rashi, there's a concept of the Cheftza Shel Torah generating a bracha. He had a Cheftza Shel Torah of the Torah he was learning in his home, and there's a new Cheftza Shel Torah of the Torah that he's learning in his shul. And the only way of understanding it is that we have over here a bracha which is not on the Maisa, for which then this second act, the second bracha will be bracha levatala, but rather on the Cheftza Shel Torah. And just as Rashi made a bracha al Cheftza Shel Torah, so also women can make a bracha al Cheftza Shel Torah. Kein shamati mimori v'rabi agon harav avbezdin debrisk shrita b'shem aviv reb chayim, that this is all found in the Emek bracha. That's very, very fine and good, but we don't paskin like Rashi. If you were to learn in your home and make a bracha and then come to shul and make a bracha, you would be told to be rebuked by Rabbi David that you're saying currently a bracha levatala. A. B. The whole Torah of the Briska Rav was said within the context of the Rambam. The Rambam's nusach of Birkas HaTorah is Asher Kiddushanu Tosavet Sivanu Al HaTorah. So then you could say it's Al Cheftza Shel Torah. But our nusach is La'asot V'Divrei Torah. Our nusach relates to the act of the individual. So this is, but it's one approach. That's the approach of the Briska Rav. It's well known that the Rav has two volumes of Yortzeit Rashos, and the first Yortzeit Rasha in the second volume is entitled Birkas HaTorah. And of course he relates to this topic as well, and he takes a totally different approach. He points out that Torah also has an element within it of Avodas Hashem. Torah is a form of tefillah that we can communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu also via Torah. He waxes very, very poetic about this throughout the entire drasha. And since tefillah requires a matir, in order to be able to daven, we need the heter of the bracha of Magen Avraham, the Avos daven, so we have a heter of davening. So also, Kishem Hashem Ikra, Havu Godel Elokeinu, in order to be able to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Talmud Torah, we also need a matir. And so that's the bracha of Birkas HaTorah, and this matir is for anyone who wants to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this manner. Fine and good. But I would like to suggest a third approach, not the approach of the Gra that we're dealing over here with a mitzvah aseh asman grama on which we have the right to make a bracha even though we're exempt. Not the approach of the Briska Rav that we're talking over here about Cheftza Shel Torah. Not the approach of the Rav that we're dealing with Torah as a form of tefillah. But rather, to return to basics. Let's go back to the basic sugyas that we have on the world of Birkas HaMitzvah. The basic sugya we're aware is source number 10. It's the Gemara in Sachim on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, where we have a cardinal principle. A principle of the world of Birkas HaMitzvah, that a Birkas HaMitzvah, kol HaMitzvah Sevorach Aleihen, over L'Asiyosan. That you have to make the bracha immediately preceding the act, with one exception in the Gemara. The Gemara points out, the Bei Rav Amrei Chutz Min HaTvila. Within Bei Rav there's a Girsa Chutz Min HaTvila plus something else, but that's rejected by the Gemara. Tevila, going to the mikvah, is the only exception where the bracha is made after the tefillah rather than before, and the Gemara explains akate gavra lo chazi, that the individual who is tovil can't make the bracha before, so he has a dispensation for making the bracha afterwards. Who is this individual who can't make the bracha before? Rashi says it's the Baal Keri, and according to the Takana of Ezra, that this individual is not allowed to speak Divrei Torah. A bracha is Divrei Torah until after he is tovel. And Tosfos explains, talking about a ger. A ger can't make a bracha, asher kiddushanu mitzvosav v'tzivanu, when he's still a goy. Only after the tevila is the ger chazi, is he capable of making a bracha. And therefore, this tevila is the exception. And Tosfos points out, lo plug, once we already have the this dispensation, so a woman going to mikveh would make a bracha post tefillah. Netilas yadayim will make a bracha post netilas yadayim. Lo plug will simply expand the dispensation. That's what we find over here in sources number 11 and 12, the shitos of Rashi and of Tosfos. But the issue is that we have more exceptions than are mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara mentions one exception to over l'asiyasan, namely tevila. But we know, and this is what's found in the Ravid in Hilchos Ishus, in source number 13, that the Ravid over here is talking in the context of Birkas Kiddushin. In the time of the Ravid, he says that Mekadesh v'acharkach mevarech. In the Provence, they used to first that the husband would give the ring to the woman and say Hareat Mekudeshetli, and only afterwards make the bracha on the Kiddushin. And the Ravid explains, why is this an exception? Because the husband basically is totally in the das of the isha. There's another party involved. He'll make a bracha al hakedushin, and then the woman will run away. In other words, there'll be a bracha levatala. So therefore, since there's someone else who's involved, first there has to be the consent of the act itself. Only afterwards can the bracha be made. And the Ravid compares it to the father's bracha at a bris milah, l'hachniso. The father only makes it after the milah, for the same reason. The father is totally on the mohel. What if the father makes a bracha, and then the mohel runs away? So it's a bracha levatala. So any time that we are dependent upon someone else in terms of the kiyum of the mitzvah, we also have this dispensation of pushing off the bracha until after the mitzvah. So the Ravid gives these two examples of milah and of kedushin. For those of you who have learned in yeshivas, you're well aware that these two brachos generated a discussion among the Rishonei Ashkenaz, who came up with a different understanding as to why these two brachos, the Birchas Lachniso by Mila and the bracha of Kedushin, according to the Ravid Shita, that's not our minhag. Our minhag is to say the bracha before the Kedushin. But in time of the Ravid to postpone the bracha, there's a totally different reason. Tosfos over there in Psachim on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph deals with the world of Mila and asks, if we have this rule that bracha should be made over L'asiyasan, why is the bracha of L'achniso postponed until after the Mila? And he explains that this is not a Birkas HaMitzvah at all. It's a Birkas Shevach V'Hodaya. Lo al zot hanaisa achshav mevarach. We're not being mevarach on the act of mila that was just done by the moel. Ela meshabeach umode lakadosh baruch hu shetzivanu al hamila kishetavo liyado. That the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned us into a covenantal community, on that we're mevarach. We just choose the time of a bris. That's a good time to say this birkas hashevach, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this privilege of being part of his covenantal community, of being part of his community of Nimolim. Similarly, the Rush has a similar approach to the world of Birkas Kedushin. The Rush in Ksuvas, in the first perek, was very bothered by the nusach of the bracha. That it doesn't say, Asher Kitchan Sosavit Sivan al Kadesh Esaisha, but rather, as we're well aware, Asher Kitchan Sosavit Sivan al Harayos, Vosarvanuas Harusos, Vihitavanuas Anasuos, Adechupa Bekdushin. What kind of a bracha is this? So the Rush says the same thing as Tosos. This is not a Birkas HaMitzvah, but rather it's a Birkas Shevach VaHodaya, that Baruch Hashem, we don't have a new normal, and we don't have alternate lifestyles. We have a bracha, Shenitken Alatei Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Kedushan Sosav V'Hivdilanu Min HaAmim, V'Tzivanu L'Kadesh Isha HaMuteret Lanu, V'Lo Achat Min HaArayot. And so we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have, Baruch Hashem, a beautiful, beautiful system of creation of families, al taras hakodesh. And that bracha, since it's a birkas shevach, it can be made after the maaseh. We don't have over here the principle of over la'asiyasan. Over la'asiyasan is a principle in birkas hamitzvah. This is a birkas shevach v'hodaya. What we gain from the Rush and from Tosfos is that this explains another anomaly. Namely, that both in Kiddushin and in Mila, the bracha is not made by the person who's doing the Maisa Mitzvah. Our minhag, even though the Rambam's minhag was that the husband is Mekadesh, his wife, with a bracha, the husband makes the bracha, our minhag is the Mesader Kiddushin makes the bracha. We have an outsider making the bracha. In terms of Mila, the bracha l'hachniso is not made by the moel, it's made by the father, or by the bezdin, whoever is responsible for the child. If it's a birkas hamitzvah, it has to be made by the osa mitzvah. So we have over here this framework of Tosfos and the Rush, that we have a form of bracha which is a birkas shevach v'hodaya, can be made by someone else, it can be made after the mitzvah. Only a birkas hamitzvah has to be made over l'asiyasan, only a birkas hamitzvah has to be made by the osa mitzvah. This shita is taken to the extreme by the Taz. The Taz in Yoredeya, in Chelek Aleph of Yoredeya, in Hilchos Shchita, points out that within the world of Shchita, we also have two anomalies. We have an anomaly that in Siman Aleph of Hilchos Shchita, it points out that if we have an individual who is mute, he's an Ilein, he hears, he's a Gadol, he's a Bardaas, but he can't speak. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a person who is Shomea ve'eno medaber, Shochet ve'acher mevarech. Someone else can make the bracha. The Shach leaves this Mitzarech I, and the Shach says, probably what it means is someone else who is Shechting and making a bracha for himself, he can be Motzi the Ilein. But the language of the Shulchan Aruch is mashma no, that this acher is simply there to make the bracha. Where do we find a bracha that can be made by party A on a mitzvah which is being done by party B? Similarly, if we continue in Hilchos Shchita to Siman Yud Zayin, Siman entitled Birkas HaShchita, over there the Ramah says something that is also amazing. The Ramah says, let's say we have an animal that has a reusa. Namely, that this animal appears very, very seriously to be a trefa. This animal appears to be a kosher species, but a non-kosher animal. So the Ramah says, shech the animal, check it out, and if it turns out that everything is fine, then make the bracha. What happens in the principle of over la'asiyasan, over zmana batel karbanu? So the Taz says, no. I have the answer up my sleeve. I learned Tosfos, I learned the Rush. Not only is Birkas Hamila Lachniso a Birkas Shevach Vahodaya, not only is Birkas Kedushin a Birkas Shevach Vahodaya, but Birkas Shchita is also Shchita near the Tamo, the Acher Mevarech, the Ikar HaKavano Laseh Shevach LaMakom Baruch Hu, that Baruch Hashem, we have not only a wonderful institution of bris, of covenant, we have not only a wonderful institution of marriage, we have a wonderful institution of food, of food processing, that we eat basar with shchita, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for us to eat basar without shchita, and therefore every Jew is shayach in the shevach v'hodaya, so an acher can be mevarech, birka shevach can be said even afterwards, and that's the framework. The problem, of course, is that the nusach of the bracha is asher kiddushanam sosavit sivanu al hashchita. This is not a lachnisa bevrisa shorom avinu. This is not asher asar lanu es ha'arusos v'iter lanu es ha'nesuos ayedei chupa v'kiddushin. This is the language is a classic language of birkas hamitzvah. To call that a birkas shevach v'hodaya is sort of working backwards. Because I have these anomalies, so let me now redefine the bracha as a birkas shevach. The question is whether we really have the right to do that. The Taz felt that yes, that he had the right to do that. So what we have is that we have this rule of over la'asiyasan, and then we find exceptions, and we find all sorts of explanations for the exceptions. The tefillah is akati gavro lo chazi. Erusin and Mila, either it's a Birka Shevach, or we have the principle that it's totally Bada'as Acherim. In terms of Shchita, the Taz wants to say that even though the Nusach appears to be a Birkas Shevach, a Birkas HaMitzvah, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's really a Birkas Shevach V'Hodaya. The question is whether we could find one principle that will explain all of these exceptions. And here, the Rav gave a chiluk that I think can certainly be used to help us to reframe all these brachos, and that will help us also, Mir Tz Hashem, to understand Birkas HaTorah, which is what we want to understand. Most mitzvos that we have in the Torah are mitzvos ma'asiyot, namely that we have a ma'isa mitzvah, and the bracha relates to the ma'isa to the ma'isa mitzvah that we are doing. We have a mitzvah to eat matzah, and we have a mitzvah to sit in a sukkah, and we have a mitzvah to read Megillah. We have all of these actions that are considered to be ma'isa mitzvah. Since Rabbi Marcus is here, and he, as well as Rabbi David, were very, very close to my father, I'll just repeat over a story that I've said a number of times. My father, Zichron Levracha, was once on a TV show called 60 Minutes with Mike Wallace. My father was an advocate for Israel, and at the time, nothing has changed really throughout the years. The State Department was very, very anti, and of course raised the issue of questions of having a loyalty, a double loyalty, a dual loyalty. And so Mike Wallace asked my father, "Tell me, Rabbi Miller, you are a rabbi. Is Judaism a noun or is it an adjective? Are you a Jewish American or are you an American Jew?" No matter what my father would have answered, he's going to fall into the trap. And so my father very, very brilliantly answered, "Judaism is not a noun and Judaism is not an adjective. Judaism is a verb. We are commanded to do actions. We eat matzah. We put on tefillin. We do this. We do words. We're a verb." You know, he simply deflected it all. Most mitzvos are exactly that. They are actions that we do. However, there are certain mitzvos that, in addition to the act creates a halachic status, what we call in Brisker Torah chalos shem. When you marry a woman, you have turned a woman from being a pnuya into being an eshet ish. She is now has the halachic status of a married woman. When you give a child to bris mila, he was an arel, and now he is a mahul. He is now allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. He's now allowed to eat kachin. When there's a tvila, it changes the status from tamei to tohor, or from a goy to being a Jew. What the Rav pointed out is that brachos can relate either to the ma'ase mitzvah or to the chalot that is created by the mitzvah, with the difference being, does this bracha have to be over la'asiyasan or not? Can this bracha be made by someone else or only by the person doing the mitzvah? Namely, that we can look at a bracha and by the litmus test of, is this an exception to the rule, or is this part of the rule of Avraham Lasiyasan, we'll be able to categorize to what does this bracha relate. And that's how the Rav learned the Gemara in Pesachim. Kol mitzvos mevarech aleihem over la'asiyasan chutz mi tevila. All mitzvos that are pure mitzvos, where there's no chalal shem, there you require a bracha over la'asiyasan, because the bracha has to relate to the act. And of course the bracha has to be made by the person doing the act. Tvila is not an exception as a case, it's an exception as a category. Chutz mei ha-tvila, those mitzvos that create a chalot, the bracha can relate to the chalot. We have tvila, we have mila, we have kedushin, we have shchita, where you take meat that was basar ba'achila, that was Avram and Achai, that was eno zavuach, and you turn it into basar kasher. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says that it can be made, the bracha can be made afterwards. That's why the bracha can be made by someone else. Not because it's a birkas shevach. No, it's a birkas hamitzvah that relates to the chalot. I don't know if anyone else here was at the particular bris milah that I was at in the cafeteria of YU. It was a bris of one of Rav Chaim's children, one of the Rav's grandchildren, at which the Rav spoke at the bris and gave over the following Dvar Torah. Not what I've said up to this point, that he assumed that we all knew, but he wanted to take it one step further. They've come out with various volumes from the OU of the Torah of the Rav on different topics, so on tefillin and tzitzis and mezuzah, there is a volume. So this is brought as that the Rav wrote this up for a bar mitzvah boy in Maimonides in Boston, and so one of the parent of the boy gave it to the OU that this was a Dvar Torah that the Rav wrote for his son for his bar mitzvah. But this was what the Rav said over, basically the same thing at the bris of, maybe it was Meir, maybe it was Moshe, I don't recall. He said, "We know that in the world of tefillin we have two brachos. And we also know that there is a very, very special machlokas rishonim as to how these two brachos, the bracha of lahaniach and the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin, on what are they recited?" That there is a gemara in Menachos which points out, Abaye v'rava da'amrei travayhu, lo sach mevarech achas, sach mevarech shtayim. So that gemara is interpreted, I'm sorry, this is not in the notes, it's Torah Shebal Peh, it's not on the Mar Makomos, but the Rambam and Rashi interpret that Gemara Losach Mevarech Achas. There's a bracha lohaniach that we make that applies both to the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. We make one bracha. Sach, if you speak between the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, then you make a bracha al mitzvahs tefillin on the tefillin shel rosh. And that's the way the Machaber paskins in Shulchan Aruch. That if a person is careful of his mouth, he basically makes only one bracha on tefillin in the morning, lohaniach. If he flubs, if he talks between the two, that's when we have two brachos. However, we know that Rabbeinu Tam paskins otherwise and says as follows, that we have a bracha of lohaniach on the shel yad, we have a bracha of al mitzvahs on the shel rosh. Lo sach, when you put on the shel rosh after the shel yad without speaking, then mevarach achas, then you make the one bracha of al mitzvahs tefillin on the shel rosh. If sach, if you speak between the shel yad and the shel rosh, then mevarach shtayim. Then you repeat the bracha lohaniach, and you make a bracha al mitzvahs tefillin on the shel rosh. You're going to be making two brachos on the shel rosh. You made a bracha on the shel yad, now you're making two brachos on the shel rosh. That's the way the Ramah paskins in Shulchan Aruch. What does that mean? Why in the world would you make two brachos on one mitzvah? We have over here, according to Rabbeinu Tam, two mitzvahs, a mitzvah of tefillin shel yad, a mitzvah of tefillin shel rosh. We have a bracha for each mitzvah. What's the problem? But why, if you speak, do you all of a sudden now make two brachos on the shel rosh? So the Rav wanted to say, it's because these two brachos have two different characters. The bracha of lehaniach, as it sounds, is on the maisa mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah of putting on the shel yad, and the maisa mitzvah of putting on the shel rosh. But aside from that, there is also a chalot shem. Not only does shchita create a chalot shem, not only does mila create a chalot shem, not only does kedushin create a chalot shem, but putting on tefillin shel rosh creates a chalot shem of a rosh, of a gavra hama'utar bitfilin. This is a different form of a Jew. The Gemara over here in source number 17 points out that there's this category of a Jew, lo aleinu, who's going to suffer very greatly in Gehenom. Poshe Yisrael begufan maininu amarav karkafta de lo manach tfilin. That putting on tefillin changes the nature of a Jew. It elevates the Jew. He's a different sort of a person. V'ru kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yarumi mecha. You're a different cheftza of a gavra. Not cheftza. You're a different gavra when you put on tefillin. And the bracha is on that. So you have to make a bracha on the act and make a bracha on the chalot shem. If you don't speak, so the bracha on the act follows that which you put on the tefillin shel yad. The moment you speak, so now you need a separate bracha on the act of putting on shel rosh, plus the bracha which is on this new chaloshem that we're speaking about. In the world of Kabbalah, which I don't know anything at all about, but there is this division of the various sfirot according to the limbs of the body, right? Chesed is the right arm and gvura is the left arm. So there's also a concept of keter. Keter is not just the rosh, keter is the rosh with tefillin. Namely, that in the world of Kabbalah, the rosh with tefillin exists also in the olamot alyonim, in the sfirot alyonim. This is a different chalosh shem than the world without tefillin, or than the individual without tefillin. Okay. Adkan, this is what we heard. What I'd like to suggest is that this will help us also in terms of the world of Birkas HaTorah. Namely, it's true, certainly, that women have no mitzvah, no obligation to learn Torah. And therefore, according to the Machaber, Birkas HaMitzvah for a woman in terms of Talmud Torah is out. It's simply not shayach. However, yitachen, that maybe in addition to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there is also a form of a chalot shem. And this is what the Rav describes in the Shirim L'Zecher Avi Mari in terms of Birkas HaTorah, that he points out that everyone knows we have a famous braisa in Avos D'Rav Nasan, Shlosha Kesarim Heim, Keser Torah, Keser Kohuna, V'Keser Malchus. The Rav asks, what's the connection? What is that which brings about what factor is there that unifies these three areas? And he says that these three areas relate to a chalosh shem. The individual is a different individual. The kohen is a different individual than a Yisrael. His Kedusha is on a different plane. Melech isn't only a minui, it's not just an appointment, but as Shmuel told Shaul, Vayita li'ish acher, you become someone else when you are a king. Your status, halachically, has changed via the melucha, just as the kahuna changes the status. Vahu hadin is what we find also in the world of Talmud Torah. This is the concept of Keter HaTorah. And so just to read the section of the Rav, because there's no way of in any way paraphrasing it, Keter Perusho Aliyat HaGavra, that the individual is raised spiritually. Hitatzmut Ishit, there's a transformation. Ayedei Limud Torah Adam Zocheh Lorak L'Chochma V'Diyotaha, Ki im l'kdushata v'tahara ishit. The person is changed, he becomes sensitized. Gasut ruach ne'elemet, adinut yoreshet et mekoma, shitchiyut cholefet, he is no longer a superficial individual, amkuta machshava machlifata, anu nitkalim b'shinui gavra v'itchadshut ha'ishiyut. We have over here a new person. This is why I wanted to give the drasha of this topic tonight, because this was a Rav Lichtenstein, Hareini Kaparat Mishkavo, whom we all knew. He was Muram Mi'ish. You saw that the Torah that he learned, it was not only a question of being brilliant and being full of Torah, but it totally transformed his personality into really being a Malach Elohim Tzvaot, into really being someone who is part of a different world. And Yitachein Ma'od, that the Birkas HaTorah will relate to that chalot shem of Keter HaTorah, and therefore a woman in Achinami, she's not chayevet in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but there's no reason why she shouldn't also be transformed via her learning in the same manner that a man can be transformed via his learning. This is something that every Jew can reach via Torah. Melucha, you have to be of a certain lineage. Kahuna depends upon your genes. But Talmud Torah, that is something which all of us can strive to achieve the goal of Keter HaTorah, Asher Bachar Banu, Asher D'chaye Olam Nata B'tochenu. And this then would explain the Tzarach Lehi Zohar Ba'ma'od, that first book end. Tzarach Lehi Zohar Ba'ma'od, namely Amachar V'ha'aretz, that when Torah is viewed purely as a Ma'aseh Mitzvah, not to have any impact on myself as a person, not to have any impact on my character, not to have any impact on a certain level of spirituality that I can reach, that be'emet is al-machar v'ha'aretz. The ashalo birchu b'torah tchila, the bracha of the Keter HaTorah, the Birkas HaTorah, puts the Torah into the proper context that it's supposed to transform the learner into being a different individual. Ad Kan, this is what I spoke about 6 years ago when I gave the shiur in YU. But I was asked then a very powerful question, and that is, Rabbi, what you're saying is very nice theoretically, but where do we see it practically? Namely, all of the other examples that you gave of a bracha on a chalos had a practical implication. They were said afterwards. There was something that was different. They weren't classic over la'asiyasan mitzvos. This one is done afterwards, this one can be made by someone else, etc. Birkas HaTorah is a classic mitzvah that we say right before we learn. Where do you see within the practical world of Birkas HaTorah anything to support your theory? That's a good question. So there is an answer though, and that is the page that I gave out this evening, that there's a Tosos in Brachos on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. Tosos in Brachos, Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, quotes the Shita of the Ri. The Ri is one of the basic Baalei HaTosfos, that the Ri says that although the Yerushalmi states that one should learn immediately after making Ahava Rabba, which was the Birkas HaTorah of that time, I say, said the Ri, that there go kaimalan ka'oso Yerushalmi. There is no need. Hold the Gemara Shalano lo amaro. The Bavli doesn't state this. Ve'ein tzorech la'alter lomod. And the Ri says there is no need to learn immediately after Birkas HaTorah. You can make Birkas HaTorah during your Birkos HaShachar and go straight from Birkas HaTorah without learning anything into Asher Nasan La'sech Vivina. And you can learn, if you want to, at noon you can learn in Daf Yomi in the late afternoon, and your Birkas HaTorah that you made in the morning will connect to your learning in the late afternoon. And Tosus ends off over there that even though HaTzarfatim Nahagu Lomar Psukimu Birkat Kohanim, right after their Birkat HaTorah, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lehem Shir, he Mishnah, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lehem Ocha Peroseyan, he Braisa, that's all mentioned in Tosfos, but the Ri says, Aval Ein Tzarech, there really is no need. There's no need. This is a sheet of the Ri. Least you think this sheet of the Ri is something like Rabbeinu Shmaya, it's this weird sheetah. This is brought in Shulchan Aruch. If you look at the next source, in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Mem Zayin, Yesh Omrim Dim Hifstik Bein Birkas HaTorah Limudo Ein Bekachlum. There's no problem. This is different than all Birkos HaMitzvah. Hanochon Shelo Hafsik Bineim. It'd be nicer, says the Mechaber, if you didn't make a Hafsik. V'chein Nahagu Lomar Parshas Birkas Kohanim Samach Birkas HaTorah. But as the Mishnah Berurah points out, the Mechaber is basically pasquering like the Ri. And the Mishnah Berurah says, you should know, that most Achronim here disagree vehemently. Cholkim al-Machaber, the language of Pri-Chadosh is lo haya v'lo nivra, that lo yitachem, this is a Birkas HaMitzvah. How can you have a Birkas HaMitzvah? Can you picture making a bracha on eating matzah and then going ahead and reading the New York Times and then afterwards eating the matzah? You have to make another bracha. There's no way of doing that. That's simply wrong. Rov Achronim Cholkim al-Machaber. That Sfira Lei Din Birkas HaTorah Kama Kol Birkas HaMitzvos Tzarech Lachzor Levarech Im Hifzik Tekef Achar HaBracha Afim Yodea Shelo Hisiach Da'at. It's not a question of that. Tzarech LaHatchil HaMitzvah. You have to begin a mitzvah immediately. The Pri Chadosh disagrees with the Mechaber. The Gro disagrees with the Mechaber. The Chayei Adam. So what did the Mechaber think? The Mechaber paskins like the Ri. So Yitachain, that if this Birkas HaTorah is a bracha on the Keter Torah, that has nothing to do with the Maisa Mitzvah. The Maisa Mitzvah can be done later. What I am speaking about is, what is my motivation? What do I want to get out of the learning? How do I want the learning to transform me? That already would be I think, a pretty good proof for the fact that we have over here a bracha of a different nature. If you turn over the page, Rav Reichman, this the volume on brachos of the Rishim El Shiurim, was put out by Rav Reichman's son here in Yerushalayim, Rav Moshe Nechemia. And on top of the page, he brings the shiurim the Rav gave in Moria, the classic shiurim he gave on Maseches Brachos, and the Rav related to this Ri, and in that context, he wanted to say, well, maybe the bracha is on La'asok B'divrei Torah, not on learning Torah. But on the bottom of the page, he quotes a machberet from Siman Tavshim Membeis. Tavshim Membeis, I was already in Eretz Israel for 10 years. I have no idea what went on then in the yeshiva, except I know that the Rav stopped giving shiur on Gemara and began giving shiur on different topics. And one of the topics he gave shiur on was on Hilchos Brachos in Orach Chaim. And he related to this shita of the Ri in those shiurim. And he says, V'hata'am, why really does the Ri hold you can make this hefsek? Mishum shebirkas haTorah eina bracha al ma'aseh limud Torah greida, ela mahave hodoa al chashivut esek haTorah, hi tachlit hachayim di Yehudi, erech elyon shebekol mitzvos haTorah. V'chal habirkas haTorah, it's like a form of Kabbalah, so malchus shamayim, I'm taking upon myself to be a full Jew, and a full Jew means a Jew who learns, and therefore even women should make this bracha, even though not chayavot in the ma'aseh mitzvah, but in terms of being moded to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, of what it means to be a Jew, that they are chayavot. So Baruch Shekivanti, that this to very, very similar to that which I wanted to say over also in the name of the Rav, according to his categorization, but he says it pretty much in the same direction. Just to end off with one more aspect which I didn't say 6 years ago, but which I think is at least, if it's not pshat, it's at least a drash. We know that after Birkas HaTorah, we learn. What do we learn? So we learn Birkas Kohanim, and then we learn a Mishnah, and then we learn a Braisa. The Mishnah and the Braisa talk about Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah can get kulam. Eilu Dvarim Shein Lehem Shiur. Eilu Dvarim Shadam Ochel Perasei Mol Hazeh. Keren Kehemes Olam Haba. We understand why those would be learned right after Birkas HaTorah. Why learn Birkas Kohanim? We saw in Tosfos Minagat Sarfatim was to say Birkas Kohanim. The Rambam says in Ha'am Nohagu to say Birkas Kohanim. The Shulchan Aruch brings Nohagu Lahagid Birkas Kohanim. What does Birkas Kohanim have to do with Birkas HaTorah? So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, it has three psukim, and we know when you learn when you lay in the Torah, you need three psukim minimally for an aliyah, so it's already a chefza shel Torah, and it talks about bracha. So why not? What do you want to say? You want to mention something from Parshas Ha'azinu? You know, so we have over here a beautiful, beautiful bracha in three psukim. That's why it was mentioned. Yitachen, that this could be connected to a machlokas Rashi and Tosos, and again, with this we'll conclude. There is a Gemara in Megillah on Daf Kaf Gimel that a Kohen whose hands are colored, they were dyed, is not allowed to say Birkas Kohanim. Rashi over there explains because the people will look at his hands because they're unusual, and when people look at the hands of the Kohanim during Birkas Kohanim, Kohu Einehem, it'll cause their vision to begin to blur. Tosis and Chagiga, that I quoted for you on the page of the Mar Makomos on Daf Tetzayim, says that's only when the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina was above the fingers of the Kohanim. You look at the Shechina, your eyes are going to blur. But the Gemara in Megillah is talking about in Golos, not in the Beis HaMikdash. So Tosa says the reason that the Kohanim should not have color on their hands is because the people may look at the hands, v'yasichu da'atam. They'll be so concerned about the color on the hands, they won't pay attention to the bracha which is being given to them. That's what Tosfos points out. The question is, so what? What does it do with anything? The Kohen is not allowed to misiach das. The Kohen is the one doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim is a mitzvah on the Kohen. The Kohen has to concentrate on what he is saying. If they're misiach das, who cares that they're misiach das? So the Rav wanted to deduce from here that according to Tosfos, Birkas Kohanim is not a bracha on the mitzvah of giving a bracha. Birkas Kohanim is creating a nation who are mitbarchim. It's creating a nation of blessed people. Therefore, Birkas Kohanim has to be b'kol ram. They have to hear the bracha, and therefore they have to concentrate on the bracha. And if they're mesiach das, then we are missing the chalos shem of Birkas Kohanim. So, it's very, very nice that we have a Birkas HaTorah that relates to the chalos shem of what it means to be a Jew, and the three psukim that are learned immediately afterwards relate to the chalot shem of what it means to be a blessed people. Mi'utz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shebim Mevarech et Amo B'Shalom.
Amen.
Thank you everyone for coming. We're now in Daven Marv, and then after that we'll go to the back of the basement for a small evening repast.